Well, tonight, as I come for this, maybe you might call it Resurrection Evening epilogue, I come with the question, what difference will it make? What difference will the resurrection make to you this coming week? Recently, a few weeks ago, some of the men stood at the front of the church and shared a little bit about the Guarding the Heart conference that happened up in Belfast on the 25th of February. And it was a very good conference indeed. One of the illustrations that we heard, and indeed I have mentioned this before, but it ties in very much here, is that some people look on Christianity a bit like a kidney donor card. You actually only need it when you're dead. It only becomes of any use when you're dead. What a dreadful way for some people to think of Christianity. It's only of any real use when you're dead. That is a profound misunderstanding. And indeed, I would go so far as to say that is a false gospel. The late John Stott, who certainly did not subscribe to that understanding of the gospel, just a little while, I'm not talking a few minutes or even hours or even days, but a relatively short time before he passed from this world, he recorded these words. And I quote, he said, "I want to share with you where my mind has come to rest as I approach the end of my pilgrimage on earth. It is this: God wants his people to become like Christ. For Christ-likeness is the will of God for the people of God." There's no subscribing there to a kind of Christianity. Well, I'm in it so that at the end I'll be all right. It was the same John Stott who asked the very searching question, indeed, through my life. It's no exaggeration to say that this question has actually been very often in my mind. And if truth be told, has slightly troubled me. And it's the question that John Stott once asked, and again I quote, "So why don't we Christians have a more wholesome effect on society? Yet we are resurrection people. And hence the question that I ask this evening, what difference will it make?" The first thing that I want to say and have to say is that it has got to make a difference. It has to make a difference, does it not? How would it be possible that we would genuinely believe in the crucified, risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we profess to have saved us from our sin and saved us from eternal lostness, the one whom we profess to have been raised again on the third day over death? How could we claim to believe these things and yet it not make a difference? It has to make a difference. It has to make a difference in your life and in my life when we are at home, when we are at work, when we are at school, when we are in university, when we are facing illness, when we are living in a divided society. It has to make a difference to the way that we live. Are we suggesting that we will just be like the world? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It must make a difference. And there is that hope that burns within our hearts that gives us strength for every passing day. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We read this evening, and James read for us that wonderful passage, which ends a bit like this, where the Apostle Paul says, having spoken about the resurrection and having spoken about the glory of all that that means, he says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and live the life. And we recall Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So folks, in essence tonight, my epilogue challenge is really this. What difference is it going to make? Arguably, if you are into using language like this, this is the high day of the Christian calendar. This is the glory day. We profess the risen Lord Jesus. But what difference is it going to make? Because I believe passionately that when the truth of the gospel and the truth of Christ crucified and risen really affects us, it will make a difference. It has to make a difference. It will make an impact upon you, and it will make an impact upon other people. Can I suggest to you tonight? No, not suggest. Can I proclaim and declare to you tonight that if you are a believer, that it will make a difference in your heart. It will make you a different person. You will have hope in the midst of a hopeless and despairing world. You will want to share your faith. You will want to share with people, I am a Christian. As we said this morning, you may say to me, well, I'm no preacher. Fair enough. I can't do anything at the front. Fair enough. But you do have a tongue in your head. And there will be opportunity come if you look for it, when you will have a chance to say, you know what? I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it does make a difference. You will want to share the faith. You will want to declare to other people something of the gospel that is within you. And yet, why is it that there are still vacancies in different summer outreach teams, including our own outreach team in the community? We need people to step up to the mark. If we believe that this is all true, why would you not share it? You will be an example. You know, an example is a very powerful and wonderful thing. Well, it can be wonderful in a good sense and not so wonderful in another sense. Over this past week or so, the United Airlines have provided us with a very, very bad example. And on another note, although a very sad note, PC Keith Palmer has provided us with a very good example. Never underestimate the influence of an example, and never underestimate the influence of a positive example of a Christian living in a community who will make an impact for Jesus. Never underestimate, young person, the impact that you can have amongst your circle of friends. You may at this moment think that you're maybe not having much influence amongst them. You may think that they're not even listening or observing, but take it from me, they are observing. And they are taking in more than you might realize. So let your light shine. I remember reading these words, wonderful words. I know it seems an awful lot of words there in front of you, but let me read this. It's not very complicated. It says this: the most effective preaching comes from those who embody the things that they are saying. They are their message. Christians need to look like what they are talking about. It is people who communicate primarily, not words or ideas. Authenticity gets across from deep down inside people. A momentary insecurity can cast doubt on all that has made for communication up to that point. What communicates now is basically authenticity. It's a big word, but you know what it means. Are you authentic? Are you real? Are you what you claim to be? Will you be tomorrow night what you are tonight? Will you be later this week what you claim to be tonight? You see, the gospel has to make a difference in our lives. And it does make a difference. It brings us to pray. It brings us to be prepared to count the cost and feel the cost. It gives us a nobler ambition. It makes us want to be a person who will be an agent for God and for good in every situation. Remember reading these words, I don't have them on the screen, of a leader who said this. He said, "I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do." So let me ask you tonight, what difference will the message of the resurrection make this coming week in your life, in your situation? What difference will it make? The impact upon you, and then the impact upon others. Again, I could think of many Bible illustrations of this. Acts 2 comes to mind. The message of Christ crucified and risen is preached, and many are touched and truly converted to Christ. And whenever people not only hear but see the message. And remember this, on that Sunday, that Pentecost Sunday, as the disciples preached the message of Christ crucified and risen, don't underestimate the impact of what they heard, but also what they saw. Some of them thought these men were drunk, but they were not drunk. They were filled with spirit, but it wasn't alcoholic spirit. It was the spirit of the living God. And the world saw the difference. And the world was touched. And folks, whenever you and I are filled with the Spirit, the world will see the difference that the message makes. When people hear the word but fail to see it lived out, it falls flat on its face. But when people hear the word and see the word, it flies high and has a mighty impact. So folks, my message in one sense is very straightforward, very simple, very much to the point tonight. What difference is it going to make? Will it make any difference? Because if it doesn't make any difference, actually, then I would go so far as to say, you may need to search your heart to see if you're a true believer at all. It must make a difference. It must make a difference. And the cry of my preacher's heart is that this coming week and these coming weeks, it will make a difference. And that people will know that we have been with Jesus. I think enough has been said. Enough has been said over these past days and weeks and months. And I think it now comes to the point where it just needs to be done. It needs to be lived out. So, I'm going to make a suggestion. You're all panicking. What's he going to say? Well, I'm not going to say anything very radical. I'm going to simply say this, that before we sing our closing hymn, I want us just to bow our heads and to silently pray. Because the truth of the matter is, preacher included, we have not always been what we should have been. We have not always made the difference. And so I'm going to suggest that as we bow our heads, that we just silently confess our sins. And just on this Easter Sunday evening, ask the Lord just to come and to touch us afresh and to put a real desire in our hearts to make a difference. And remember, you'll not do this in your own strength. You need the Spirit. So ask God to forgive your sins. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit so that you might be enabled to live for him. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for this Easter weekend. Lord, what a wonderful weekend it is when we remember the dying love of our Savior on the cross on Calvary's Hill, dead and buried and then raised again to life. But Lord, as we think of this question tonight, what difference will it make? We just want to confess, O God, that at times it has not made the difference that it ought to have made. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we all know our own hearts. And just in the quietness and silence of these moments, Lord, hear us as we confess our own sins and ask for your fresh cleansing. And for your fresh touch, Lord, hear us. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just to cleanse us from our sins. And we pray, gracious God, tonight that we would know that fresh touch. Lord, come and cleanse us and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we might go from this Easter weekend filled with the joy of the risen Christ, with a desire in our hearts to share with a lost world that he is risen. Lord, help us and grant that our own personal and family and business lives, that we might make a difference for God and for good and for the gospel. Lord, help us, we pray, and encourage us. And bless us as we sing our closing hymn and as we go from this place. And we ask this prayer in our Saviour's name. Amen.